I am recording.
I'm also recording.
I am present.
I've been recording for 33 minutes.
That's a long time.
No, I'm kidding. It's been 3 minutes. Checks.
3 minutes is still a long time. I'm recording for 13 seconds.
Let me restart.
14, 15 seconds.
There might be
16
some audio
seconds.
Gold.
17, 8, 18, 9, wow, 20 seconds.
You missed the best number. Are you kidding me? You mean, what episode is this?
11.
It's episode 11.
11. It's where it all began.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Common Ground Podcast, your favorite podcast where you talk about our favorite format, Popper. Today is episode 11.
11.
11.
It's a stupid inside joke of our, like,
our group,
our half real testing team, which is just our friend group.
Just a bunch of friend group. Yeah.
We're a real testing team. I'm Cameron Schindler, joined as always by my co-host, Thomas Gunn. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are y'all?
I'm doing well. And I'm also joined by Hippopotamus Hieronymus. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing delightful.
Hi,
thank
James.
You very much. Hi, Gunn.
I was going to look up hippo facts, and I did not do so.
Yeah, I was waiting for the hippo fact.
Because I am a procrastinator.
Same.
Yeah. Do college work, or I could just, like, play Magic the Gathering instead.
This sounds like a very familiar story of myself.
Did you drop out, too?
Yeah.
Oh, let's go.
I did.
But anyway.
I graduated, but I did spend a lot more time playing Magic than I should have.
That's probably good. No, easy graduated. You got that far. Today, we're just breaking down some Popper tournaments. We have our monthly locals that we will talk about, and as always, just one challenge result this week. A little different, but I don't know what happened.
Yeah, Magic Online broke this weekend. They had many technical difficulties, so there was only one challenge this weekend.
Sad. Everybody else got two, I think.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't either. I might be making that up. I probably shouldn't speak if I don't.
I don't know. I also say things, and then I get called out for it later, so it's totally fine. You're good. You're due one.
All right. True. Hippo, you want to start us off with your tournament breakdown?
All right, everyone. So for our monthly locals this month, I decided to play Jeskai Ephemerate. Nothing particularly exciting in my list this month, but round one, I played against a version of Glitters, and it was four-color Glitters. Four-color being not black. My opponent's green card in their main deck was Solani Ledgewalker, which is a really, really sweet card to attach a Glitters to. Basically, the card is just unblockable, which is super sweet. And basically, beyond that, it was pretty normal Jeskai Glitters. Round two, or I lost that one. Round two, I got the bye.
Woo!
I got to stand around and watch some sweet games from both my co-hosts and some other friends of mine and ours. Round three, I played against our friend Drew Carlson. He was playing Is It Fairies. I did squeak that one out 2-1. Round four, I played against one of our local combo gamers, Hunter. He was playing One Land Spy. He very, very well got me in game three by having exactly enough mana to do the thing, plus hold open exactly red mana for a red blast on my counterspell.
Damn.
It was pretty sweet. Can't even lie. That was round four. Round five, I played against our friend Carson, who was on Jeskai Glitters as well, and I took that one. So I ended up 3-2 across the day.
I watched that last one. That looked brutal.
Yeah, at some point, like, I just can't lose.
If you can survive, like, the first glitters,
like, probably, if I can survive, like, even the first initial onslaught, if I get to, like, resolve a wrath, like, if they had to resolve, like, a breath weapon or kill a glitters with, like, a destroy evil or something, the game is pretty over.
I think the deck wins that matchup either. Here's a bunch of Frogmites and some Mirror Enforcers, good luck, or, like, here's a Ginger Brew with a glitters on it, good luck, because you'll beat their engine of synth and stuff eventually.
Yeah, I agree.
How was the Is It Faye matchup? I was curious on that one.
So this one actually played out exactly about how I thought it would in my head. I lose game one because I have a bunch of clunkier cards in my deck that I don't necessarily want. Like I have things like Destroy Evil and actual counter spell that I don't want. Because I think in that matchup, if you were playing basically either on whatever side of the matchup you end up on in like a blue-red mirror, like you don't, I don't think you want counterspell in your deck. I think you just want blast. I think you want eight of your blast effects. If you have them, put them in your deck. I do not think counterspell is good because you're going to get into situations where you want to fight over stuff and you don't have enough mana.
It's just way better counterspell.
I think that was exactly why I won that matchup.
Especially against the blue-red deck.
Yeah. I think that was a big reason why I won that matchup is because my opponent did keep in counter spells in the matchup. I think they're supposed to board them out. I'm fairly certain of this.
So did both of you just board in like red and blue blast?
I boarded in all. Okay, in game two, I did not board in all eight of them. I boarded in like six of them. Boarded in all four of the red blast and two of the blue blast. And then I kind of saw how his game plan was going to develop in game two. So I was like, I'm going to go ahead and board up all four of my blue blasts as well because it works well enough. Because he's also bringing in red blast of his own. Mm-hmm. So my blue blasts get better.
Yeah, it's kind of like a weird...
So I think... I don't think counterspell is very good in that matchup. I think you just want to be playing on as most efficient access as you possibly can, especially on my side because I'm having to play with much bigger spells. I need to be able to protect my spells a lot more efficiently than he needs to protect his spells because some of his creatures are also just counterspells with things like Spellsetter Sprite.
That makes sense.
I know one card in that matchup that was also a huge, huge win for me was Cast Into the Fire, being able to kill two things, especially with a Spellstar Sprite, like entering the battlefield, so I can assuredly resolve whatever spell I'm trying to cast. Like it was so, so very good.
Do you like the deck overall?
Yeah, I like the deck. I definitely think I could have won the first Glitters matchup that I played. I think I could have played it differently. There was some decisions to be made with what to do exactly with my just copies of Destroy Evil across the game, because there was also Journey to Nowhere that it got involved in the game. So like Journey to Nowhere took out like a Moldrifter of mine. So I think I ended up Destroy Eviling a Journey to Nowhere with a Moldrifter underneath it so I could block the Solani Ledgewalker and also draw two cards. But I think what I should have been doing instead was actually trying to dig for a Murmuring Mystic, because Murmuring Mystic just indefinitely will block, or the tokens from the Murmuring Mystic will indefinitely just block the Solani Ledgewalker.
That card seems really good, Murmuring Mystic.
Yeah, that card was very strong all day if I got to resolve it.
It continues to impress in a lot of shells.
Yeah, I know another friend of ours was playing it and also was super impressive to him as well. He was playing Blue-Black Terror, I believe. Did super well for him as well. He also liked that card. I think the card's great. No complaints for me. I think my deck was good. I think it was just maybe some minor decisions that I made that could have ended up differently. Also, I guess the matchup again that I had against the one land spy deck, I had zero pieces of graveyard hate in my entire 75. Mm. Not even a relic, nothing. I had zero
Ouch.
Pieces. Yeah, I copied a list for the most part, and I stuck to the list. And I wasn't expecting a ton of graveyard decks. Normally, the individual who played the one land spy normally plays Infect, so that would have been a great matchup in theory. But that's not what happened. I knew he also likes this deck as well, so he decided to pick this one out for the month, and I got punished for it.
So with Jeskai Glitters, I wonder if, I guess they're two very different decks. I wonder if Blue-White Familiars is just like the better Murmuring Mystic deck.
Over
Jeskai.
Over Jeskai Ephemerate.
Oh, Glitters.
You said Glitters.
Yeah, over Jeskai Ephemerate. I think they both do pretty close to the same thing. Basically is how controlling do you want to be?
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like, I keep wanting to say Glitters, but Jeskai Ephemerate. Mm-hmm. I feel like it could be like very clunky if like they're putting the pressure on.
The deck is very clunky. A lot of that has, from what my experience was over the weekend, had a lot to do with whether or not you want to hold up a mana on turn two for your potential counters, but also your mana in this deck is so bad. I'm going to tell you that. This mana in this deck is heinous. Like on the first like four or five turns of the game, your mana is bad.
Yeah. Three colors is hard and popper.
Yeah. So back to us saying like holding up a mana on turn like two, either for, you know, a counter spell if you have it, a piece of interaction if you have two tap lands, or if you have the ability to hold an like factual counter spell, or if you want to blow up, or if you want to like try to cleansing wildfire your own land to go ramp yourself. Like, there's a lot of decisions to be made of how you think the game is going to play out. I think that might have had a little bit of the of why I may not have done as well as I could have. Just having better knowledge of how your play is supposed to progress across the first few turns of the game.
And decision paralysis is real too. Yeah. Like,
I definitely had a couple moments across the day where I was like, I legitimately do not know what is the correct decision to make here.
I will say though, watching you play this deck, James, like watching you play these styles of decks that range from mid-range to control, and I know we kind of talked about it afterward, you get so locked in, you are just in the zone, just like making the right plays for the most part. I mean, I didn't get to see a lot of your games, but you're in the zone, you're locked in, you're not giving away any information to your opponent. Like, playing those styles of decks, it feels like that's like your sweet spot in this format. Just having all that agency really kind of plays to your strengths, and it's really, really fun to watch you like in the zone when you're playing these kinds of decks.
Yeah, a friend of ours, Ellison, not a huge Pauper player anymore. He used to play Pauper quite a bit, but years ago he said to me, he's like, I like having agency over the game. Because I asked him why he plays blue decks all the time in whatever format, it doesn't matter what it is. He's like, I like having agency over the game. I want to feel like I have a decision to make every single turn of the game, and that my decisions matter every single turn of the game.
He has my favorite table manners of all time.
Oh, they are great.
Like, just very, very clean with a draw step. Very, he enunciates everything precise. Very well. Just he's, very, very, very.
He's like just he's a precise person.
That's a little off topic, though, but oh, love him.
But yeah, as you see, yeah. But I do enjoy the format where I have some agency over what's going on, be it with, you know, hand disruption spells, kill spells, and in-game clock like Gardens, or this one where I have cantrip decisions to make, or when to not ephemerate, or when to start an ephemerate loop with Archaeomancer to try to close out the game. This deck was fun. I could see myself playing it in the future. I think just having probably more F with it would be a little bit better next time.
I think it's like a good deck to keep around for pickup games.
Yeah, it's a solid deck. Like, it's a deck that it's existed in some form or fashion for a very long time. Like, Flickering a Moldrifter has been around forever for a reason. It is still good.
And you didn't play against your good matchups either. Like, you want to see Gardens and Terror.
Yeah, I wanted to sit down across from those. Yeah, I want to play against like the slower decks of the format, because then that's where you like really get to shine.
You, that like if you get your engine going, it's like
it's almost impossible for me to lose. Especially if you get at some point, if you get two Ephemerate plus an Archaeomancer, it is nigh impossible that you lose a game.
Yeah, it's game over.
Yeah, it's basically game over. And I did that a couple different times where I'm like, I can't, literally my opponent's like, I can't lose. Like, you can try, but I'm not gonna lose. But I had a fun day. But Cameron, let's hear how you did.
Yeah.
Oh, my turn?
Yeah, your turn.
Cool. All right. I played Black White. What have they been calling it?
I think you called it Orzhov Blade, which I kind of like. Yeah,
Black White Orzhov Blade. No, that doesn't make sense. Orzhov Blade. So I'm just playing like Glint Hawks, Core Skyfishers, and Tithing Blades.
And the Hopeless Nightmares.
Yes, and Hopeless Nightmares. That card's sick. And I'm just kind of like this bounce my permanents back to my hand, replay. I'm just like sack a creature, and I'm swinging in with Glint Hawks and Core Skyfishers. And surprisingly, Hopeless Nightmare, that 2 damage is very, very relevant. And so far, out of all the Tithing Blade decks I played, which is just this and Gardens, I've been flipping my Tithing Blade in this deck a lot more than I have been in Gardens.
Mm-hmm.
And that one life has been very relevant as well. But round one, I got the bye.
Kind of, yeah.
My opponent, Jay, there you go, there's your second shout-out, Jay, you no-shower. he was running late. He was playing dad. He was being a good dad. Yeah, that's what he was doing. Dad. And so he came in round two, and he was funny. He was like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, don't be sorry. I'm like, I got to win. And he was playing the same thing I was, but like a little bit different. Instead of Hopeless Nightmares, he was playing Ephemerate. So that would have been like really fun if we would have got played that out. So I'm a little sad we didn't. So I got the win there. Round two, I played against Mark on Is It Fairies. And game one, I think both games were like really long and grindy. Early spell stutter sprites were so, so annoying. I didn't take out my tithing blades just because I didn't have so much stuff to bring in. But my tithing blades were, even though fairies go so wide, I'm picking up my tithing blades so often.
You get to use them over and over.
And I know these games are going long. So this was another one where I'm like, okay, flip over. You're swinging at me for two, but it's actually only one. And
they're still getting taken. Oh, yeah.
And Prismatic Strands was really, really good in this matchup because I got to make a couple cheeky blocks. And I was able to, like, play a Monarch creature and not have to block because I had Strands in my graveyard and stuff. And I think the Monarch found me another Prismatic Strands. And I only played two in my deck, so that was nice. So I got the win there. Round three, I played against our buddy Carson, like you did, Hippo. Not on the same round, though.
That would be really hard to do.
Strange.
He was, like Hippo said, he was playing Jeskai Affinity.
Yeah.
And game one, I just remember him having a... I don't even remember. I killed his creatures. That's what happened.
Your deck's pretty good at that.
Yeah, I just got to kill his creatures and kept drawing cards of Deadly Dispute effects. Game two, I do remember him playing Obsidian Acolyte, the pro black creature, and like it didn't matter because like Tithing Blade Hawk, pick it up, Tithing Blade, play another Tithing Blade. Okay, sack your Obsidian Acolyte, and just
on your point of what you consider to be the better Tithing Blade deck, I think this one actually I think is the better Tithing Blade
oh,
deck.
Oh yeah.
Just being able to not one of your creatures, but two of your creatures being able to pick it up across the deck is incredibly powerful.
Oh yeah, it is. It's insanely good.
This was the combo we like all three of us saw like when it first came out, and I'm like, I want to bounce that thing with some Coruscant Fishers like so bad.
It's good. It felt really, really good. Round four and five, I was able to double draw into the top eight. And in the top eight, we did no splits first round. Put out the first round, I'm playing against our good friend, Anna. She likes to cube with us and stuff. It's always fun. She is amazing at cube, too, so shout out there. She was playing Grixis Affinity, and she normally doesn't play Popper that much, and she piloted this deck so well.
She's played this deck a couple times before, but like,
this is her go-to Popper deck when she does play, and she's very good at it.
Yeah, very.
She's very good at it.
That was a really fun matchup. Game one was super grindy. We're trading off resources a bunch. She's sacking a bunch of creatures with Tithing Blade. She has a Blood Fountain. She's picking up two Mirror Enforcers again.
Anytime I watched her games, Blood Fountain looked really, really impressive.
I think on a previous episode, I said that's really the reason that deck's able to grind as hard as it is, because it plays four of them now. Like, yeah. The net's gone, finally gotten to the point where it's up to four.
So annoying.
It's
so annoying. So good. But we exchanged a lot of Deadly Disputes. That might have been Carson who played four Thought Casts in the game, which is wild. But no, that was Carson for sure. We exchanged a lot of Deadly Disputes and stuff. Eventually, I got there game one. I don't even know. I think like Tithing Blade Clock again, having that flipped over because it was super grindy and just pinging away with a 2-2, pinging away with a 2-3. Game three, I think she mulled a 5, kept a 2-lander with no black source.
Ooh.
Hoping. And I think she had some Deadly Disputes and stuff. I like turn one Hopeless Nightmare, trying to be cheeky, like, ha, you have a discard card. And I had Dust to Dust.
I do remember that you had plenty of Dust to Dust.
Yeah.
I was sitting next to you at that point.
I had two Dust to Dust in hand. The first one hit her two lands, and there's only two permanents on the battlefield. And I think she might have had a drum. I can't remember. I don't think Grixis Affinity plays drum, so I think that's a lie. But the second one didn't hit anything because she just scooped it up there. Then we go to top four.
Normally top four splits.
You don't have to.
Right.
Yeah.
But in this case,
We wanted a cube afterwards, so we're like, oh, we should just split top four. And one individual was like, nah, no splits. Let's play it out, which is fine. That's their right. They can do that.
So the matchup there was...
That was against Hunter playing one land spy who demolished Hippo earlier.
Yes, he did.
Unlike Hippo, I came prepared with...
cards. You almost got got.
I got game one.
Yeah, you did very much get got. He top decked a spy on the very last turn.
Yeah, so
and got gotcha.
Like it was a game one. I think I had. That's not the perp on my ideal hand. Very far from ideal. Now that like I rethought it, it was a very good hand. I think I had Hopeless Nightmare and like Core Skyfisher. So I ended up playing like three Hopeless Nightmares and like eventually like a Glint Hawk, just like a bounce of land maybe. And I just like getting in there. And I pass a turn. Hunter's at four. He has a bunch of rituals in hand. He just top stacks the one land or the Balistret Spy. And all this deck does, it wants to Balistret Spy, mill over your whole library. And once your whole library is in the graveyard, there's three creatures that have unearthed for one black. You unearth those three creatures. You flashback Dread Return and you turn back.
Lotless Giant. And then you dome your opponent for roughly 20-ish and damage.
Why I think my deck. That I didn't have the perfect hand because I have two Prismatic Strands. Lotless Giant deals damage.
Correct.
So ideally, I need Prismatic Strands, mm-hmm. especially in game one. That's how I can just hose him game one if he's not ready for it. Mm-hmm. You milled your library and I play a Prismatic Strands. Pass turn. Okay, you lose. You know? Game two, I ended up having like three relics, and that deck can still win through a relic because it has this one black black as additional cost, remove X cards from your graveyard that are creatures. For each creature move this way, I think
it deals damage.
Or they lose two life or something. I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember the card exactly. I know what you're talking about. It's like a sorcery.
As additional cost, you remove the creature. So there's a no point between Spy and that card. I can relic them.
Correct.
I just had the pressure and the relics game two, and I just kind of beat them down. Game three was a wild emotion. So I think we both mold to five.
Correct.
And he might have molded four.
No, he molded to five as well. Okay. He couldn't go any lower because he has to have some amount of like
rituals.
And he has to have like,
He needs cards
in his hand.
And so anyway, we both molded to five. I kept, I think it was like Tapland, the Raven Inspector, Relic in Mystery Card. He's on the play, of course. I don't know if he land grants this turn. I don't.
I think he top decked the land grant. He top decked the land grant because
turn one. He's on the play.
On the following. Because he didn't do anything on turn one.
Okay, turn one.
He just passed the turn.
Good thing Hippo's here. Yeah, turn so one, he just passes the turn to me. I draw for turn. I'm like, I really, really, really want an untap land. So turn two, I can hold up Relic Progenitus on this turn. I think I play a tap land, pass a turn. Like Hippo said, I think he got land grant, plays his land tap. So next turn, if he has a nuts, he can pop off. So he passes to me. I'm like, okay, I need an untap land. I top deck a Thraven Inspector, and I kind of swore a little bit.
You were not a happy individual.
No, I was pretty pissed. So I'm like, am I going to die because my deck plays too many tap lands? That feels really bad. So I play the Relic. I pass turn. I'm a little angry. And Hunter's like, sick. He starts going off and stuff in the middle of it. He's just, donkey! And
He's just like, I didn't math this correctly. He was one mana short of comboing off for the win.
That deck counts to eight, I believe, or seven.
So you have to have
five for Balistret. It counts to eight.
No, so there's two spells in the deck that actually do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have Balistret Spy, which is four mana, and then you have the other. I can't remember the name of the card, but it's destroy four. It's four and a black, but you have to be able to target your own land and destroy your own land, and then that's what mills over your deck. But you also have to be able to get the creatures out of the yard. So in this instance, yes, he needed eight mana and he was one.
Or short. Have that insert sorcery that costs three mana in your hand.
Yes, that he did not have good. Either of those.
Okay,
things.
So
he was just one mana short.
So he needed to count to seven or eight, and he miscounted. And so, in the middle of him like kind of going off and stuff, he's like, I messed up, and I went from like just like bright red angry, and then he went to bright red angry.
Oh,
so we both just felt a ray of emotions, and then I just had a relic and he like discarded three cards because he messed up his combo, you know?
Oh,
yeah. So that was kind of it. Then I ended up splitting the finals, walking away with mostly a full box of MKM play boosters now. Ooh, get Hell some, yeah. hopefully get some test drafts in with Gun for the PT.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's the plan.
Get my free box for the month.
Yeah.
That's right.
overall, yeah. I guess I really, really enjoyed this deck. It's weird because if you ask me what are the deck's good matchups, I'm like, I don't know. I guess Talarian Terror because you have Tithing Blade. But other than that,
I actually think you have a good Gardens matchup too.
Yeah, with Hopeless. So. If I have,
you have a lot of early value.
Hopeless Nightmares plus any of those like pickup effects,
and they don't counter my spell. So I'm like, I'm gonna land a Monarch. Like if I play a Monarch creature, they can't contest it really unless they play their own. And if like I play a Deadliest Spew, I know it's gonna resolve.
So I do have a question for you. Did you play any number of Goliath Paladin in your 75? Nope. Oh, so I was wondering if that were the case, having the ability to steal the Monarch from Gardens without actually having to attack for it. And then you just be able to...
Or the initiative.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what, my apologies.
Whatever emblem.
Whatever, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever broken
game-winning emblem you have. If you had a way to steal it without actually having to attack for it, and then you're able to protect it because you also have like things like Prismatic Strands.
Ooh, yeah, I could see that being fine. Just five is a lot in that deck,
too. Oh, I understand. I was just curious if that was a part of that was in your on your radar at all.
Mm-mm. So I guess those are like the two good matchups. Bad matchups. Hippo and I played a little bit of. You played Jeskai.
I also think that matchup is pretty bad for you.
Yeah, no, that was bad. That's what I'm saying. We played Tesla a little bit, and you kind of kicked my teeth in.
We played a little last night. I played your Orzhov Blade deck against Cogates, and
you kicked my teeth in.
That felt pretty good for the Orzhov Blade side.
Even like when you were on the Blade side and I was on the Cogate side, and you're like Hopeless Nightmare. I'm like, okay, cool. I'll discard a Sacred Cat. I'm like, that feels great. And you got a Cheeky Pajuka Bog in there afterwards. Yeah. I'm like, that's annoying. But even games that didn't happen.
Right. I just sandbagged my Suffocating Fumes until you had your Hawks in play. And I was like, all right, cool.
I still had three Hawks in my hand. But at the end of this, just like, man, I have three cards in my hand. I look at Gun's hand. I see him just flicking a full grip. I'm like, what happened? You know,
it's like. It's so much value. And it was super fun to play, too.
Yeah, it was really. It's not like Gardens where it plays 9 dispute effects. It just plays 4 dispute effects. So it's just like, but with these, the Glen Hawks replace himself, a Sky.
Core Skyfisher.
Core Skyfisher.
Core Skyfisher and Glenn Hawk.
I did say Scorefisher last night.
That's funny. But like the deck is weird. Like you look at it on paper and you're like, I don't know. When you play, you're like, this is a machine.
Yeah. And it was really sick.
So like bad matchups, I would say the Jeskai Ephemerate deck. I didn't play against Mono Red. If they have a quick start, I can see it being really dicey.
Yeah, we would have to try that.
Mm-hmm. Like you do have the two strands in the main board, but like you're not a green deck. You don't have Weather Restorm. You get the Dawnbringer Clerics and all that stuff post-board, though, which are nice. But, yeah, that's how my day went. It was really fun. Had a great time.
Still the King of Pauper.
I guess so. That's what... Gun and Hippo have claimed me as King of Pauper in Asheville, and now my ego has gone too big for my office.
This sounds like another person from Nashville. Moving on. And Gunn, would you like to tell us how your tournament went?
I would love to. Okay, so leading up to the tournament, I was very torn. I'm so excited to talk about this. I was so torn between playing the sick Mono Red Tron list from a few weeks ago, or do I try out Demand Answers in a burn shell since Murders at Karlov Manor is legal for the first time for our Pauper tournament, and then I can see how it is and we can talk about it on the podcast, you know, content, all that jazz. And so after my typical waffling back and forth up until the last minute, I decided to play some Demand Answers. I wanted to see if it was good. I wanted to see how it felt. So I rebuilt my classic burn list. This is not the Kuldotha burn list. This is much closer to your classic Pingers list. However, I'm only playing the 4 Flame Breathers and the 4 Voldaren Epicures as creatures. I have 4 Synthesizers and 4 Implement of Combustions alongside those Epicures as your artifact package. And because I'm addicted to Fire Blast, I'm not playing Great Furnace. So when James and I went down to play that Winnabox down in Columbia 2 to 3 weeks ago, I played Great Furnaces to try out the Goblin Tomb Raider in like my style of this burn deck. But I was still playing a couple, like, I think three Fire Blasts, and I learned real quick, the hard way, that Fire Blast is just no good at all with any number of Great Furnace in your deck.
That makes me sad.
I know. But so I knew that I wanted to play Fire Blast. I've had a lot of success in our monthlies playing Fire Blast decks, specifically this deck. And so I was like, okay, we're going to play 18 Mountains, and we're going to go from there. So I only have 12 artifacts to sacrifice with Demand Answers.
Wow, I didn't know you weren't playing Great Furnaces.
No Great Furnaces whatsoever. Because I wanted to make sure I could always Fire Blast.
That's cool.
And it came up, it was super relevant all tournament. It was awesome. Demand Answers is the hotness. Demand Answers is really, really sick. At least in my deck, it was really, really sweet. As I said, I'll quickly run through the list here. I have a picture of it on Twitter as well. It's 4 Epicures, 4 Flame Breathers, 4 Synthesizers, 4 Implements, 4 Fire Blast, 4 Chain Lightning, 4 Lightning Bolt, 3 Lava Spikes, 4 Reckless Impulse, because I still wanted to make sure I had a number of those effects, 4 Demand Answers, 2 Lava Darts, and then I generally play like one main deck end the festivities. I just like to hedge against random, like the mirror, the Kaldathal Rebirth mirror, and other random creature decks like fairies and
fairies
things like that.
Shows up quite a bit. Yeah. You can count on one or two.
Exactly. So just like have like a one mana answer to like take out a couple of things. And 18 Mountains. Super clean. And then just a bunch of good reactive stuff in the board, including a couple extra Thermal Alchemists in the board in like slower matchups where I wanted to have access to more pingers and things like that. Demand Answers was awesome. It was really, really awesome. Like, we've joked that like Deadly Dispute on Ichor Wellspring is like build your own Ancestral Recall, and I did that many, many times with Synthesizer or Implement. Did my own Ancestral Recall, and it was crazy good. This is a burn deck that does not flood, and it was really, really good all day.
Dude, watching you cast Demand Answers, I was watching you play some. I want to cast that card so bad right now.
It was so sick.
I want to cast it in Borosynth.
Yeah, I think it'd be really good there too.
I'm going to brew up a list. And
absolutely.
Unfortunately, I did not get to watch you a lot because you were generally done before I was. I was anywhere near done.
Long. Yeah, no, you played long matches and I was done. Well, some of my matches went a little long, so my tournament round one and two, I got paired against members of the Alabama crew that come up from time to time. Round one was against Jonathan, super nice guy. They were on Jeskai Glitters, and I won 2-0. I think there was a spot in game one where if he had held back gaining life with Ginger Brute, he may have been able to survive and crack back for lethal. Mm-hmm. But I was able to get there, and then game two, I just kind of did the thing. Round two, I played against Adrian. I believe they were visiting from St. Louis, but friends with the Alabama crew.
Yeah, that's insane. They come up from St. Louis, and they run an Airbnb, and they make it a whole weekend. We got a queue with them sometime, too.
Yeah, absolutely, we should. Yeah, shout out to you guys. If y'all are listening and y'all want a queue, hit us up.
We love
cubing. But no, they were all super, super nice. Adrian was on Blue-Black Fairies. We went to 3 games. I won game one by the skin of my teeth, just ran them out of counter spells and had burn at the end. Game two, I normally in my sideboard like to have like a copy of like Mind Collapse or Magmatic Sinkhole. Mind Collapse is 3 and a red. It deals 5 damage to your creature Planeswalker, but if it's your turn, you can sack a mountain to cast it for free. And then Magmatic Sinkhole is 5 and a red, instant, deal 5 damage to a creature with Delve. Just so I have like something that can kill, like I have Red Blasts for terrors, but have like some other random thing for terrors, something that can kill Gurmag Angler, the big initiative creatures, just like one catch all. But I decided instead to play a couple breath weapons in my board this month, just to cover for like the Glinthawk decks. If anyone brought 8 Thraben Inspectors, things like that. So I and also the Kaldathal Mirror, because End the Festivities isn't good enough against all of their creatures because they have Blast Runner and Tomb Raider, which have 2 toughness. So I just wanted a little extra a little extra oomph, and I'm playing, like, I don't care if Epicure dies. Honestly, against those decks, Epicure is probably blocking early anyway, and Flame Breather won't die to a Breath Weapon. So I played Breath Weapons just to have some minor sweeper. It never super came up, but I liked having access to it. But because of that choice, I knew that I was just going to die to a Gurmag Angler or a Terror I could still Red Blast a Terror. I was going to lose to a Gurmag Angler with an Unexpected Fangs lifelink counter, and Adrian managed to do that in game 2, and I just scooped. I was like, I cannot beat this now. Let's go to game 3.
Even if that's something you have to double bolt, or God forbid, sack 2 mountains, blast bolt.
Yeah,
you are so far behind. They just gain 6 life anyway.
Exactly. I was already losing the race pretty significantly at that point too. They got a pretty quick start. And then game 3, it was pretty grindy down the stretch. They developed a couple fairies and a Gurmag Angler. I like lava darted a Spell Stutter sprite with the trigger on the stack in a spot to not like get like my synth counter.
Doesn't that feel so good?
That felt really good. Yeah. I had to confirm that with them. I'm like, this works the way I think it does, right? And like, yeah, it does. Okay, cool. The final turn, I had resolved a Ren's Resolve the turn before, so I had an Epicure waiting in exile. My opponent gets Adrian's at 9. I have Adrian's at 9, and they have 3 mana left up. And I'm like, okay, Flame Breather. And they go, Hydro Blast. I'm like, okay, Red Blast or Hydro Blast. And they go, Hydro Blast your Red Blast. I'm like, okay.
Popper.
Play the Epicure. And like, okay, put you to 8. Fire Blast, Fire Blast.
Let's go.
And they had like a Brainstorm and a Black Card in hand. I was like, sick. Let's go. So that was sick. So I got that round. Round 3 was against our friend Matthew Centillis. Also on Jeskai Glitters. He got me game 1. I was able to kill the first creature with glitters on it. I was not able to kill the second creature with glitters, and I died to that. And then game 2, I was able to burn him out pretty quickly. And then game 3, he mulliganed pretty low and wasn't able to put as much together as he would have liked, and so I was able to get there. And then round 4, I was able to draw with you, Cameron. And then I was able to draw again in round 5, and we were the first and second seed going into top 8,
yep,
which
so
is pretty sick.
So we weren't playing each other.
No, so we weren't playing each other, so that was sick.
But Cameron gun special.
Yeah. first round of top 8 was against our dear friend, Thomas Bitter, who was on Mono Green Infect. And we had played some practice games because we didn't think that we would be playing each other because of like tiebreakers and draws and all of that. But because of how, because Anna won her winning into top 8, she had better tiebreakers and bumped Thomas down. And so we got paired. So we had just played like 8 games or whatever, just like for fun, just to like, you know, just see how the matchup went. And it was pretty favored for me, but then we get paired, and he instantly goes game face, just like
you and him both do that. You
Bitter,
both.
Our friend Bitter has got one of the best like game faces
on
our squad. Period.
Oh, yeah. I'll ask him sometimes, like, "Are you all right, man?" He's like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Okay, you look angry."
No, he's just doing the thing.
He's just super focused.
He looks angry.
He gets super focused.
Yeah. And we had a very very close game 1. I got a bunch of infect damage pretty early, and then was able to stave off some threats, and then got to a point where I misplayed in that I had a lightning bolt, and he had an infect creature attacking, and I had a blocker, and I should have blocked first and then tried to lightning bolt his creature, but instead I lightning bolted his creature first, and then he cast Apostle's Blessing to give pro red, and then I couldn't block, and it was the last point of infect to kill me.
Nice.
And then game 2, I killed all his threats and then burned him out, and game 3, he flooded a little hard, and I was able to take it from there.
I feel like the burn versus infect, you have the upside as a burn player, being my damage dealing spells are also removal.
Right.
In opposite way, his infect spells don't do anything against your burn spells.
They can in that, like, you can, well, like, you pump, can, they can pump their true, creatures to true, protect, but then if you're doing that, then you're not using the pump spells to try and kill me, so it's like...
It's like, it's like in burn where you have to bolt something and it feels bad.
Right.
I know, so, Bitter and I, that's partly how we became friends. We both used to play Infect and Modern together. The idea is that you always want to try to kill your opponent's creatures at sorcery speed.
Right.
Force them to do something. You never, ever want to try to tangle with them in combat. They will kill you.
Yes.
You never want. You always want to try to kill their stuff at sorcery speed.
Oh, because
if they pump in combat, then it's more infected.
It just gets way worse for you.
Yeah.
You never want to fight with them in combat.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think the same translates into Pauper. Don't really want to fight with them because they still have things like Vines of the Vastwood.
Right.
And whatever other random +4/+4s that they have in their deck.
So, and this matchup was really emblematic of something that I think Demand Answers unlocked for this style of burn deck, is that in spots where, like, there were spots where I was forced, because exactly what James said of needing to take his creature, like, kill his infect creatures as soon as possible before he could attack with them. Was that I there were spots where I was forced to even just like fire blast. I think in game three I fire blasted down to zero lands on like turn two or three just because I had to kill his creature. I like bolted it. He like tried to protection spell or pump spell, and I like fire blast kill it. I had a couple. I was also saying I had a fairly land heavy hand, so I had, you know, I had some time. But the thing that Demand Answers allows this deck to do is just. It never floods, so like you are okay to use a couple of your burn spells on infect creatures, especially in a matchup like that where they're not really going to be able to take your pingers out. They're not going to be able to take out the flame breathers, and so you can just pick off their aggression, pick off their creatures, wait until you finally have that, and then any spells will just eventually win the game.
That's
like
cool.
It becomes a deck where the long game favors the burn deck, which was a fascinating paradigm shift, and one that I absolutely leaned into throughout the day.
Like, still probably not as fast as like Adolfa decks, like,
right?
They're not starts,
but I was okay with that.
Yeah,
another thing I'll mention here. Another major factor of what led me to play this more burn heavy creature light list is because almost all of the sideboard choices that folks are choosing to fight the red decks outside of Blue Blast and Hydro Blast, which, like, I'm used to. I have my red blast to combat that stuff. It's like, yeah, well, Weather the Storm is also something where Fire Blast and this stuff is really good, because I can just sit back and bide my time, just cast like one spell a turn, like ping you, like bring in the Thermo Alchemist, like ping you, okay, cool, you take one, untap, cool, I won't do anything, go, like, you know, I can pick my spots of Weather the Storm, but primarily because my axis of attack is not creatures, I don't give a crap about protection from red creatures. Like, I had I think in the in my first round against Jonathan on Jeskai Glitters, in game two he played the Crimson Acolyte. I think he had two Crimson Acolytes at one point, and I just didn't care. I just like just burned him out. I think there was one point where I got him low enough on white mana to take something out, but even then it didn't really matter. I'm just going face.
And Pauper for the most part has turned away from cop red in favor of like the what?
I'm gonna get to that.
Oh, okay.
You were busy playing with Hunter. My semifinals match was wild.
Oh wow. Yeah, okay, but for the most part, Pauper has moved away from Circle Protection Red in favor of like these Crimson Acolyte effects, mainly due to the Affinity decks and stuff like that.
Affinity decks and the Kuldotha and just being able to block anything forever. Yeah, and so my axis was not attacking. I attacked with Flame Breathers and Epicures from time to time. Honestly, attacking with the Synth Samurai token was also pretty relevant. But anyway, I defeat Thomas in quarterfinals, and then we go into the semifinals. I am paired against our friend Blake, who is playing the four-color glitters deck that James had faced earlier in the day. And I was super ecstatic to not have to play against Hunter on the one-land spy deck, because I did not bring any Tormod's Crypts or Relics. I had no graveyard interaction whatsoever. And so my semifinals match... So I'm playing against Blake on four-color glitters. I lost round one. It was a pretty close race back and forth between burn and he eventually got glitters onto the Solana Ledgewalker. I wasn't able to block it. It was hexproof. It was, you know, very, very effective in terms of what that that idea is trying to do. It was pretty sick, honestly. Kudos to Blake for kind of innovating on that archetype and coming up with a cool idea. He does, yeah.
He usually has like good success with it too, so that's cool.
Yeah. Game two, he played Circle Protection Red. So this is what I'm saying. You're saying about Cop Red, which for those of you who don't know what the Circle of Protections do, it's their enchantments. There's one for each color and also one for artifacts. They're one in a white, and they read for one generic mana. You can prevent the damage that a source would deal of that color, but it doesn't prevent the damage from a source for like the rest of the turn or anything, like say Tishana's Tidebinder in like Modern or Pioneer Standard would turn things off after it counters an ability. It just prevents that trigger or that spell or that source, which is very important. So I was able to get him to tap out of enough mana after like pinging and like throwing a burn spell into it, and then I untapped and burned him out for the win. In game three, I stave off the first couple of threats, and then he lands a Circle Protection Red and starts flooding, and he has like 8 or 9 mana open with a Circle of Protection Red in play.
So,
and so at that point, I have like, I think I have a Flame Breather in play, and I have a bunch. This is how I won. So I am sandbagging a bunch of burn spells in hand. I'm like, okay, I know what I need to wait for. I need to wait until I have either a second pinger, the Thermo Alchemist that I had sideboarded in because I saw the Circle of Protection Red in game two. So I brought them in for game three because that's something where I can threaten, like, okay, I'm going to tap. Are you going to pay a mana? And if he doesn't, great, cool. I deal a damage. If he does, okay, you're tap one mana down. So I have, like, Lava Dart, Fire Blast, Chain Lightning, Lightning Bolt, like all sitting in my hand. And also, I have in the couple of turns leading up to this like final turn sequence, I demand answers discarding a mountain instead of sacking my synthesizer because I needed to sack the synthesizer for its own ability to get the white 2/2 so that I could chip in some damage with the white 2/2 that the Circle of Protection just didn't care about.
Not red.
No, exactly. Not a red creature. And so I know I'm going on at length about this, but I thought it was so sweet. And so I, on the end of his turn, I tap Thermo Alchemist, steal one. He pays a mana to prevent it. I cast a Lava Dart, untap the Thermo Alchemist, trigger the Flame Breather, which like, and eventually just do things like that enough times at the end of his turn. And then also on my turn to get him to a point where he is tapped out. I think he's at like, 7, like 9 by the time he let like a couple of pings through and saved mana for like 1 or 2 spells, but by the time we had gotten to the point where he only had like 2 or 3 mana left, I still hadn't attacked with the samurai on my turn. I had active pings with I had like 3 or 4 burn spells still in my hand.
Kessig Flame and, Breather attacks yeah, for one.
Flame Breather can attack
for
one.
He probably doesn't stop the one.
Exactly. Like you, and I have enough to be able to put together the damage. So like sandbagging all of these spells against the Circle Protection Red and just waiting for that turn where I can trigger both of these pingers over and over again to like, are you going to save this or are you going to let this through? And I was able to just whittle that down and it was absolutely sick. I was just like, okay, I'm just going to sit here and like in that spot, it felt like my initial thought as soon as he got Circle of Protection Red and had a ton of mana because he was flooding, I was like, I don't know if I can win. And then I thought like, wait, no, these pingers will actually help me a lot here.
Yeah.
And they did, and they won me the game and it was sick. And then I split the finals with our very own Cameron Schindler.
Yay! Hey,
and we each walked away with a box of MKS.
It's the common ground finals.
Yeah, the common ground. We did not play it out though.
All
we,
podcast
you
finals.
Did not.
No, we did not. We wanted to head back here.
Cube. Oh yeah, that's fun. We usually end up cubing after Popper on Saturdays. Yeah. And that's always a blast.
Oh my god, I just talked about that for like 20 minutes.
No, that was cool. That was a sick one. No, you were in your element. You're casting Fire Blast.
Yeah,
you're in your element. That's sick. Bitter's in his element, casting infect spells.
Yeah,
so that's like, I'm glad Bitter did really well too.
Yeah,
so
no, everyone had a blast. What was
you had a fire blast?
I had a fire blast. It was super great. Demand answers was absolutely busted. Definitely give the card a try if you're on the fence about it.
Oh, yeah.
James, what was give us a quick rundown of the rest of the tournament. I know one of our members of our community, Mark Demumbrian, who we mentioned earlier, Cameron had played. He puts up these recaps on one of the local Facebook groups. And
he's our hero.
Yeah, he is.
So for the top eight of this tournament, we had...
Do you want to see how many players we had first?
Oh, yes. We had 25 players. So it was five rounds, cut the top eight. The top eight of this tournament was in first seed going in. All these are going after seeding after five rounds. In first, we had Cameron, our very own Cameron.
Powerful.
With his Orzhov deck. We had Thomas with his Demand Answers Burn deck. We had Blake with four-color Glitter Affinity. We had Hunter with One Land Spy. Mark Demumbrian, who breaks these down every month for us. It's beautiful. We love it. Mm-hmm. In fifth, with Is It Fairies? Jay Taubman with his take on the Orzhov deck. They both look they're very different from each other, but they were both very sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like fighting back from a round one loss from a no-show and then fighting back 3-0 to draw into top eight. Mm-hmm. It was pretty sick.
That's
props
sick.
To you, Jay.
Yeah, it was very sweet. I that's very hard to do. I think I don't know. That would mess with my mental game. Like lose round one because I wasn't there, and then having to fight back, that would be extremely difficult.
Jace Cole was a cucumber.
So props there for sure. In seventh, we had Thomas Bitter on Mono Green Infect, and then in eighth, we had Anna Patterson with Grixis Affinity.
Let's go.
Yeah, it was a very sweet top eight. That was seven different decks. There's two Orzhov decks.
Yeah. I think those are close enough, pretty close enough. Like
they're, yeah, they're close enough.
He wasn't playing Hopeless Nightmare. I wasn't playing Ephemerae.
No,
I didn't see much else of what he was playing.
His deck's a little bit bigger, so his deck is going up to like Goliath Paladin and stuff like that. Like Goliath Paladin,
cards.
Like Goliath Paladin and like Thorn of the Black Rose and stuff like that.
Oh, uh-huh.
So,
Guacho.
Yep. Super sweet.
Sick. As always, a blast.
Yeah.
Super. A fun. Fire blast.
A fire
oh yeah,
blast.
I did get ninth. It was a clean cut, but I did get ninth. There were a bunch of draws across the day, and I'd like to mention why there were a bunch of draws across the day.
Oh.
I know we have mentioned previously of why you don't see a lot of gardens in the top eights of Magic Online events because it's incredibly slow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same also goes for paper. Deck's incredibly slow, especially when you hand it to people who've never played it, as both Cameron and I did. We mm-hmm. both handed a person or two different people gardens, and it caused a lot of draws across the day.
I felt so bad. I didn't realize I handed our buddy gardens. I'm sorry, Matt, if you're listening. I didn't realize I took three relics out of his deck, and
I wish you had told me.
I wish I would. I have three extra relics, but they're either in my deck or Holly's deck. And oh yeah, Holly played.
Yeah, Holly played.
Fun. Oh yeah, Cameron, your wife played. Yeah, that was awesome.
And that was like her first like more than like three round tournament ever.
Yeah, like
too.
First like legit tournament.
And she was gonna play out her fifth round, and she's like, "Should I play it or should I just eat the food that I grabbed?" And I'm like, "That's your decision. Like, I don't blame you if you don't want to eat the food." And she's like, "I'll just play it out." And then the person just conceded her, and I'm like, "There you go." Anyway, what was I saying? Well, I'm sorry.
That's
listeners.
A great question. But we're going to move on to the top or the one challenge that we did have from this weekend on Magic Online.
Yeah.
Oh, Matt, I'm sorry. he immediately plays Hunter.
Oh god, no.
Doesn't have any relics.
No.
No.
and he I think he was a little upset. He's like, "It's fine." And we were laughing about it a little bit. He's like, "I think I'm just going to go home." I'm like, "Oh, no, play it out. And then he plays Devin, who was borrowing
Gardens. Oh, and they play the Gardens Mirror.
And then they drew, of course, because I think they drew. But
yeah, they definitely
they
drew.
Did. That was one of two of Devin's unintentional draws.
Devin was 2-0-2 going into round five, and he had to play against Anna.
Devin, yeah, his girlfriend.
Yeah, he played against his girlfriend.
I love watching Anna beat the crud out of Devin.
It was great.
And yeah, it was pretty sweet.
They had 7 minutes left to play game three.
She played like a monster.
Yeah. They played extreme turbo magic, and she was victorious.
Oh, that was so sick. And we can give Devin crap because he's our good friend.
It's true.
So it's allowed.
He is a very good friend of ours.
All right, shall we move to the challenge?
Let's do it.
Non-plural.
Let's do it. All right. This is the Popper Challenge results from February 10th, I believe. That is the Saturday challenge. It's the only one that fired because Magic Online decided to poo-poo on everyone.
Caught on fire.
As Jim said earlier.
It did break.
All right. In eighth place, Dennis... Oh, wait. Hold on. Denise Vish Alexi on Jeskai Ephemerate. In seventh place... Sissio Jiri on Jeskai Ephemerate. In sixth place, Kasa on Flickertron. In Ooh. Fifth place, Abij Habs on Demir Terror. In fourth place, Boosters Packs 13 on Golgari Control. This is Gardens. In third place, Ziu Francone on Familiars. In second place, Kerblinksy with an interesting take on Borosynthesizer. And in first place, Humuda on Goblin Combo, a.k.a. Mogwarts. And I believe that they split finals, technically.
They did.
Yes. Excellent. Mogwarts. We're back, baby.
Came out of nowhere.
Boom.
Yeah, it's one of those decks that can just like randomly win a tournament. It's really sweet.
Also playing two main deck copies and one sideboard copy of Mesmeric Fiend.
Yeah, our buddy Carson was playing against me yesterday, and he moved to the Mesmeric Fiend technology.
Mm-hmm.
No new cards in this list, I believe. No demand answers.
I don't see any.
I do want to talk about this synth deck.
Yeah.
Oh, we're gonna talk about the synth deck. Don't you worry. I went to his YouTube channel right after I saw this. I'm like, oh, he's gotta have a video up. No.
Yep.
Oh, he does.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed it.
Yeah.
Never mind then.
So he didn't actually record the. I don't think he recorded the actual challenge itself, but did record an updated list because he's like my list is garbage. I literally built it 5 minutes before the challenge.
Literally five minutes
before the challenge. He's like, my list was atrocious. Would not play the 75. But updated it and played through a league with it. The deck is incredibly sweet. It's the idea. I think he played this several years ago, and every once in a while he likes to come back to it and try it again with whatever the current metagame looks like. And currently, we have Synthesizer. Whereas before, when the deck was super popular for him, it was like Arkham's Astrolabe.
Oof.
Gotcha. I got Kerblinski confused with the other guy that you showed me.
Kalikais?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Start the K.
Yep.
That's why I didn't see it. Got you. Yeah, like I was looking over this deck and there are some things that like I'm like, man, I want to bump that up to four demand answers, especially after watching Gun play with demand answers. I'm like, that looks like a drug that I want to be on.
It was really sick.
After watching a little bit of this video, I didn't watch the whole thing yet. Reasons for some sideboard cards that were here specifically. There's a lot. That's a lot of Flaring Pain. Like
Turbo Fog.
That was exactly why he's like, I expected there to be a lot of Turbo Fog. There was not. So
maybe there's a bunch of like two or something.
You could probably get away with one, honestly. One's probably plenty.
You think so?
Yeah, yeah. I think so. One's plenty fine. Yeah, that's one fair. Two. He's like Rites of Initiation was. I've no reason to be in the sideboard. He's like, I just needed a card. He's like, I'm just running against the clock trying to get into the challenge.
Hey, fam. It's Thomas from the editing booth. We are about to talk about this card a bunch in the challenge results, but we forgot to say what it does. It's Rites of Initiation. It is a red mana for an instant. It says discard any number of cards at random. Creatures you control get +1/+0 until end of turn for each card discarded this way. Back to the pod.
It was random?
Yeah.
Hey, Thomas in the editing booth. You're just doing really good. I just want to encourage you. You're doing great, man. Thanks for doing a lot of the labor of this pod. We love you and appreciate you so much. I hope you're having a good day. Love you, buddy. Bye. Kisses. Mwah, mwah.
I also have the same sentiment. But you don't have to have that recorded for me.
No, I'm putting it in.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love it.
And there's one main deck. And I'm curious to see how
that...
There's two main decks. I think he said across the whole challenge, he cast it once for actual attacking with lethal.
Yeah, because I feel like this is, again, this can be, an aggro slash, Almost like your burn deck gun.
Yeah, this is just the synthesizer deck. This is exactly.
It can be super grindy, so I'm just feeling like, man, I feel like I don't want to discard Lightning Bolt.
Well, here's the thing. So actually, I do think this is a pretty cool piece of technology. This list is specifically, we hadn't highlighted yet, it's playing 8 Inspectors. Like, that's the the highlight of this list, is it's playing 8 Inspectors plus a couple of Demand Answers, which I believe should just be moved up to 4.
And four Kuldotha Rebirth as
well. Yeah, and four. This is a
which
super,
are very
this,
good when you have Anthem effects like Rites of Initiation.
Yeah, I would agree. Also, I know in his video he said he would play some number of copies of Goblin Bushwhacker to boost up the Kuldotha plan if you needed like the extra boost of speed. Even just on like 2 or 3 creatures, it just acts like a lightning bolt. So he's like, I would play some copies of those. But I think the idea, back to what you were saying, or what I was saying, is you're gonna have all these extra cards in your hand because the game is going to go long. That's the kind of the idea. Like, you're still a synthesizer deck at heart, so the game is gonna go a little bit longer. You're gonna have all these extra clues lying around because you're gonna pick up your inspectors or whatever, and you're gonna have a ton of extra mana as the game goes on, and you're gonna like cracking clues, and you have a ton of cards in your hand. You'd be like 7 cards in your hand. You're like, man, I've only had a way to like just kind of push through damage, and that's your way to push through damage.
Even I can see a game where you played 3 inspectors or whatever, and like it's late in the game, you have 7 mana. That happens quite a bit, especially when you're flipping so many cards. Synthesizer loves to hit land drops, so you just go crack clue, crack clue, crack clue, discard all 3 of them, the Rites of Initiation, and you can swing in. No Dust to Dust in the sideboard. This is a mono red sideboard.
So, I mean, it's mono red except for the creatures.
Also, he said that the Gorilla Shamans were a terrible choice. Do not play the Gorilla Shamans. He's like, my list, he's basically just like, my entire 75 was terrible, but I just happened to run hot.
Yeah, I think in the solid deck, I'd prefer Casting the Fire or the Gorilla Shaman.
I would agree. Also, I backed up like one thing on my challenge that I got to do, or in my challenge, my tournament against Carson specifically.
It's your challenge.
Yeah, my challenge against Carson, at some point, he also tried to put like a Crimson Acolyte into play, and I was able to eventually blow up all of his white sources by like recurring like Cast into the Fire with Archaeomancer like every single turn. I was just like, you are never going to keep this Crimson Acolyte relevant.
That deck just gets into some nasty loops against decks.
Yeah, it sure does. But I think there is a lot of room for development here in this style of synthesizer deck. This definitely is way more aggressive than what Cameron and I tend to play. I am interested to try this, though.
I definitely really want to try this, too.
I know that it has 8 inspectors, so I'm very likely to try this.
I think I'd be cutting inspectors on my side.
I know you would. I'm not willing to do it. Not yet. But also, another thing, the little pop-up of little Urzatron.
Yeah, let's look at that.
I have a flicker. Little flicker tron.
You'll see Tron pop up, but it's not usually flicker tron when it does pop up.
There's
we got a new card from Lost Caverns of Ixalan in here. 2 copies of Runaway Boulder. It's a 6 mana artifact with flash. When it enters the battlefield, deals 6 damage to target creature and opponent controls, and you can also cycle it for 2 mana.
That is the worst card I've ever seen in a Magic deck.
You're playing a Tron deck. This actually just like pretty cleanly answers like Murmuring Mystics and Terrors and stuff. That's pretty good.
That's true. And six
is not that much.
It's just when you're trying to get Tron, just this look in your hand, it's just like you can always cycle it for 2, I suppose. But
there's nothing really else.
Pick it up.
Super exciting going on this list, other than the fact that it's even here, and that's exciting for me.
Yeah, it's one of those decks you play a ton of one-off instants, and that is because of
Mystical Teachings.
Yeah, exactly. So you get to find all these cool instants. Like, this is on 4 Moments Piece. That's not a one-off.
To play that in your deck.
Oh my gosh.
You don't have a choice.
2 Ghostly Flickers, 1 Ephemerate, because you get into these loops with
Mnemonic Wall,
Ghostly Flicker, and Tron Lands, mm-hmm. where you hit the wall, a land, and flicker, and you pick up flicker again. And it ends up costing, like you almost lose 1 mana every time you do it, so you just, and you have, like, 14 mana, so you just 14 times Ghostly Flicker.
So there actually is an infinite mana loop, I believe. No, yes, there is an infinite mana loop in this deck. It's very complicated. I will say it involves the card Unwind. Eventually, you will eventually make infinite mana. I'll just
I
say
believe
that.
You.
It is very, very convoluted, but you can do it. You have to, like, put a bunch of copies of Weather the Storm on the stack, and you, like, are able to like flicker or like or unwind each individual copy of Weather the Storm, so you could eventually just untap enough lands to make
it. So it's not infinite, it's like 1400.
It's close enough to infinite to you're gonna find a way to kill your or kill your opponent. Cool. It's a really weird, weird thing. I did play this deck for a little bit. I enjoy this deck. I think it is very, very slow and is I don't know that I would play it necessarily if I expected a bunch of burn decks to be a thing. This deck is super slow. If you expect a bunch of mid range piles, man, have I got the deck for you. Play that's some Tron. If you expect gardens and like, yeah, if you expect a bunch of guards, just play this thing.
It's Tron in every format. Go over the mid-range deck.
Yeah, just go over the mid-range deck.
Were any of these Jeskai Ephemerate decks, were they drastically different from what you were doing?
Well, let me take a look. Let's see what we got here. This first one is playing Brainstorms, which I was not playing Brainstorms. They were also playing...
Which one is this?
The seventh place list. This was the...
Zissio Gary?
No, the second one.
The eighth place list.
Yes, the eighth place list. This is playing Brainstorms. I didn't play Brainstorms. I didn't have main deck Wraths like the Breath of the Weapon or anything like that. But everything else looks basically the same from what I played. They're also playing two Kinku Artificer. I did not play Kinku Artificer. I had a ton of instants and sorceries in my deck.
And they had three relics in their sideboard.
Yeah, they also had Graveyard Hate like I neglected to do.
Alas.
It happens. It's fine.
James, what's the cardinal rule? Pack your hate?
Yeah, we've talked about this. I made a call.
Me too. I didn't pack my graveyard hate. I got lucky to dodge Hunter, honestly.
Hunter definitely took advantage of the fact that nobody had graveyard hate and played a deck that is very good, very, you know, would die to it.
Wild.
As he did against Cameron. The second other list that was played, this looks very close to, this actually might be 75
of the same
of the
player, the seventh place list, that's the same player from the list that you pulled from,
yeah,
right?
I believe this is like a 75 or a 74 or 75 that I played.
You had Cassinifier's main deck?
That card was very good.
Yeah, it is.
It was very good.
I'm sure like you hurt some affinity players' feelings.
I also hurt Drew Carlson's feelings, too.
Good.
Oof. Woof. But yeah, no. Nice little diverse top 8. There's a lot of flicker there.
Yeah.
A lot of like between the combo deck and then the like Jeskai versions with lots of controlling elements.
Hell yeah.
This Dimir Terror list in top 8 had no mental notes, no thought scours, so they're just on the blue-black control plan, and you'll play your terrors naturally. Also, and that we said earlier in another episode, that makes Augur Bolas a lot
better.
I don't know why that makes it better not playing those, but it...
Because you get to play actual spells that are relevant to draw.
That's true. And you're just on a... Four Terrors and two Murmuring Mystics. I'm sure Murmuring Mystic is also very, very good in this deck.
It's just good in general.
It has been a powerhouse since the format.
This is a deck I need to put some reps under my belt with.
I recommend it.
I feel like I would just do well with something like this.
I agree. I think I would also in the same boat
I
with you.
I do not own Terrors. I gave Mike my Terrors. All right, everybody. I think that wraps it up for episode
11
of the Common Ground Pod. Watch us get sued. Of the Common Ground Podcast. If you DMCA. Got questions for us, I dare you to email. That sounds like a threat. It's not.
It is a threat. You're threatening our listeners.
No, I'm telling them what to do. Email them to us at commongroundmtgpod@gmail.com. Or you can DM Thomas Gunn on Twitter, or myself, or James. Or if you see us in person, you can come scream at us and be like,
"In Chicago!"
Yeah, that I will be in the facility. Gunn, will you be in Chicago?
I will be.
Will you be at MagicCon Chicago?
I will be.
I will be in Chicago at MagicCon Chicago too. Hippo, will you be in Chicago?
I will be in Chicago.
Will you be at the MagicCon Chicago?
Ooh, here's the rough thing about that. I was on the train of people who procrastinated getting their badge, so
naughty boy.
We'll be enjoying the city of Chicago and sporadically with my friends.
You'll be in Chicago.
I will be in Chicago having a good time.
Throwing down some dogs.
Yeah, I'm gonna
deep dish.
I'm gonna go find some good food, some good drinks, and
we'll hang out.
And we'll hang out when I can. But yeah, I just take a weekend and enjoy the weekend.
They have children tickets. I'm telling you, you shave. I could pass you off, man.
I they actually do not have anymore.
Oh, but they ran out of kids' tickets?
Everything is completely gone.
Yeah.
Wow, Magic is popular.
Yeah.
It's not from Popper.
But speaking of Popper, with the Popper Cup coming up, I think next week we will go over some sort of primer intro into what you might expect or what we think the...
Should we do a tier list?
Maybe. Well, I think we'll come up with something of like some sort of prep for the Popper Cup for anyone who's interested. Because I know that Cameron will be playing. We have a couple other local people who will be playing.
I'm playing Gardens.
So cool. So yeah, we'll go over that and we'll go over... You know, what to expect, maybe some just like general tournament etiquette if there are people playing Popper who maybe don't play as many bigger tournaments when they're out and about.
Yep.
Let's do a tier list.
Yeah, something like that. I like that.
Cool.
Yeah, I think we can all like come up with something close to what we think and compare lists.
Yeah, then we can like finalize a list or something like cool. 10 minutes before we start.
Sounds about right.
Sick. Anything else?
I think that does it.
Yeah,
I think
that does it.
Hell yeah. Thanks for listening, fam.
Peace out, Girl Scouts. Stay safe.
Later, everyone.
Peace out.
Burpee to that.
You're good.
Looks like
people are loving it.
Cut it out. Are you people?
Yes.
We are people.
You guys are people. You guys are good people.